Good afternoon, everybody. It's good to see the house is full. It's always glad to see a lot of visitors visiting us, and especially the literals back home. That's fantastic. My heart felt light when you see your quiver is full. That's wonderful. It's good to see all of you. We've been looking at the tabernacle, haven't we? And I don't know about you folks, but I've been blessed studying about the tabernacle. And I was praying and contemplating as what am I going to bring about for the body of believers today. The Lord led me to talk about yet another type in the tabernacle, and not the tabernacle itself, but a person who functions in the tabernacle, and that would be the high priest. Okay, so we're going to look at the high priest briefly. I mean, we probably could take week after week to talk about and exposit in the word about the high priest, not the priest, but the high priest. But suffice to say that we have a little less than 30 minutes, and I'm trying to do some justice, being able to at least give some outline about the high priest, specifically looking Christ as our high priest. Right? Because the entire tabernacle talks about the shadow and the types that we see about the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, because that is the whole crux of the matter. And you can see that in Hebrews chapter 8. Let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 8, and my verse is going to be verse 1. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. And here's what the writer to the Hebrews has to say. He makes a very interesting comment. He says, now the point in what we are saying is this. In other words, he's trying to summarize chapter 4, 5, and 6, 7, and 8. He's trying to say, listen, this is what I'm trying to tell you all. And what is the message? We have such a high priest. We have such a high priest. Just underline the word such a high priest. It's a very, very significant word. One who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. Underline that word seated. He's not a high priest anymore standing. He's seated now, right? His work is done. Atypical high priest. He was not your typical high priest that was ordained by God, even as he told Moses about the high priest, because he was constantly standing and serving. But here we have such a high priest who has done the service. Now he's seated at the right hand of the throne of majesty of heaven. Let's run down to chapter 10 and verse 9. I want you to mark this word also here. Then he added, before, that is Lord Jesus said, behold, I have come to do your will. He does away with the first in order to establish the second. I believe this is the theme verse in Hebrews. He took away the first to establish the second. He took away the temple sacrifices and the temple ordinances, and he established something much better. And that's exactly what the writer to the Hebrews was trying to exhort these believers in the Holy Land, in the land of the promise, where some of the Jewish people who had turned their back into Judaism. Belief and their system, and now have become the believers in Lord Jesus Christ. And they were going through hardship. They had persecution. When the shofar blew in the evening for the evening sacrifices, there were few Messianic Jews who did not go to the temple sacrifice because that was over. And they were persecuted. To those believers, to those persecuted saints, the writer talks, dare not go back into your old living style because you are better. You are a better high priest. You have a better covenant. You have a better hope. So stick it out, because yours would be the victory. So we are going to study today briefly about this high priest. And I'm going to put here such a high priest. In the Old Testament, you see the Aaronic priesthood, isn't it? We're going to compare that with the anointed one. His priesthood, the Lord Jesus. You see that the Old Testament is clear about how the Lord told Moses about the priesthood. He said that they will be from the tribe of Levi. They would be my servants. They would not have a land to own. They would be people who would be dependent upon the rest of the tribes, because that tribe is dedicated to me, to serve me in the tabernacle. So all the priestly line were after Aaronic line. They did not have a choice. They have to be from the tribe of Levi. But then we see the Lord Jesus was not from the tribe of Levi, wasn't he? What was the tribe from?
Judah.
From Judah. You see a difference there right away. Because this high priest, the Lord Jesus, was different. He was not only there to serve as a high priest, but he was there to be the sacrifice, the one who would bring about perfect redemption as a sacrifice. And it has to come through the line of Judah. You also see that in the Aaronic priesthood, they were doing routine religious work. They perhaps did not understand the details. They had their job cut out. They were also very imperfect. They were just like anybody else in the tent. They were just human beings. They were just like anybody who were imperfect, who would sin, who would come short. And they had to offer sacrifice themselves first, and then offer sacrifice for the rest of the Israelites. And they were non-permanent. So each time when a priest died, there was a replacement. Somebody else took over the job. And they were not righteous. They were limited. They're human. So, you see, the Aaronic priesthood had deficiencies. They were imperfect. They were limited. And they all died. They were non-permanent. But what we see in Hebrews, the Lord Jesus as the anointed one, as a priest, he had four very important attributes here. First of all, he is a powerful high priest. And we'll talk about it in a minute. He's also a permanent high priest. And he's a very patient high priest. And finally, he is the perfect high priest. Only the Lord Jesus can fit into all these categories. He's powerful high priest, permanent high priest, and a patient high priest, and a perfect high priest. You see that in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1 and 2, there is a mention about this. Let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews 7. Before that, 6 and 20, sorry. Hebrews 6, verse 20. Where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And you see, if you start reading chapter 7, it talks a lot about Melchizedek. And due to a lack of time, I would not go into details of that. But Melchizedek was a king and a priest, wasn't it not? His account is well established in Genesis 14. You see that he was a king of the most, the priest of the Most High, and he was the king of Salem. Today's terms, it would be Jerusalem. So he was the order of Melchizedek. He was a powerful king, yet a high priest. You see that when the war, when the battle broke out in Genesis 14, where he's been mentioned, there was a uproar from the east by a few kings. I think this king of Sodom and Gomorrah and three of the Jordanian kings were fighting against the five Jordanian kings, and there was a problem, and Melchizedek interfered and had a victory. Abraham's cousin, Lot, got stuck, got captured by these kings, and Abraham got involved, and he won the battle too. But then, when he saw Melchizedek, Abraham's approach was totally different, because he saw him as a king. And we see that in that chapter that he offered him the tenth of every blessing the Lord had blessed him. Why? Because Melchizedek was a very powerful high priest. He was a very powerful king. And we see in Hebrews here talking about the Lord Jesus being in the order of Melchizedek, because he is all-powerful high priest. If you look at the high priest that has been mentioned in the scriptures of the Mosaic Law, he was not powerful. He was just carrying out the duties. He was a man. He was an imperfect person. He was not all powerful. He was not the king for sure. He was a high priest, unlike the Lord Jesus. But our Lord Jesus is all powerful. He's powerful not only to be able to offer sacrifices, but he's also powerful to be able to make those sacrifices to be authentic and established. Every time when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, he was afraid of his own life. Because as he carried the sins of the congregation, he had to confess his sins. If he were to be found sinful, he did not come outside, because he was not powerful. He was not powerful enough to be able to accomplish the job successfully. But the Lord Jesus, our high priest, such a high priest, is all powerful, king and a high priest, the order of Melchizedek. Not only is he a powerful high priest, but also he's a permanent high priest. Hebrews 7, 23 to 25. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he, the Lord Jesus, holds his priesthood permanently because he continues the work of a high priest forever. The Lord Jesus is our permanent high priest. He is not like the priest that is seen in the Old Testament, because death was their portion. They were prevented from being able to carry on the work by human death. But the Lord Jesus is permanent. Isn't it wonderful that we have a high priest who lives forever to make intercession on our behalf? He's not a dead high priest. He did not bring about his priestly duties for a season, an end. He continues to be our high priest. He appeared to be our propitiation. Now he continues to appear before the throne of grace because he does the work of a high priest, continuously interceding on our behalf. And someday he will appear again. At that time, he's not going to be the high priest, but he would be a king of kings. And such is our high priest. He had appeared to be our sin atonement. He continues to appear to be our intercessor. So that when God the Father sees the high priest, the Lord Jesus, and sees us, there's a continuous reminder that the Lord Jesus had paid the penalty, and he had done his work as a high priest, and that we belong to the kingdom. His position is permanent, and it is glorified. Then you see that he's a high priest who is very patient. He's very gentle. He's very understanding. I want you to come along with me to the Old Testament time when they had these sacrifices. Think about for a moment. Think about the amount of perhaps the busyness and the chaos and the confusion perhaps they had in the tent. When they brought all these sacrifices, they had to inspect the animals, whether they were perfect or not, whether there were any blemishes or not. Then they had to go through the routine, the rituals. And by the time the high priest took the blood, perhaps there was a big ordeal that was happening. It was an opportunity for people to get perhaps very short, perhaps very insensitive. A normal Jew probably did not understand what would be the nature of the high priest, because they were only concerned about keeping the law. They were only concerned about finding favor from God by being able to perhaps go to the tabernacle and offer this sacrifice so that for a season they would be finding remission. They'd be finding pardon. But if you look into Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, and there's a great verse there which I would like to read. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but the one in every aspect had been tempted as we are, yet without sin. And chapter 5, verse 1. For every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on our behalf in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices of sin. He, the Lord Jesus, can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. He acts gently with us. He is a high priest who knows us well. He knows of limitations. He knows our insufficiencies. He works with us with gentleness, with concern and sympathy. Such is our high priest. He's a patient high priest. Oh, isn't it wonderful that our Lord, being the high priest, is gentle with us. He's not harsh He's not demanding. He's gentle and patient. And then not only that, he is powerful high priest and a permanent high priest and a patient high priest. He's a perfect high priest. There's no more priests needed anymore. He has done the work. He and did it so perfectly. Look at Hebrews chapter 7 now, verse 26 to 28. For it was indeed fitting that we should have a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first to his own sins, and then to those of the people, since he did this once and for all, when he offered up himself. He's a perfect high priest. Holy, innocent, unstained, separated from us. He's holy. And he's innocent. Imagine if the Lord Jesus were to be imperfect. I mean, you can even think about it. Imagine if he were to be having blemishes. When he went to offer a sacrifice for us, for mankind. I suppose Satan must have been very happy if that were to be the case. Because he could have never crushed his head, Satan's head. He could have never done it. Because he is a perfect high priest, holy and innocent and helpful, we have total remission of sin through his work. So he's a high priest. At the same time, he's the sacrifice. How do you explain this? It's difficult, isn't it? He's the lamb, and he's also the lion. He's a shepherd, and he's a sheep. And that is the beauty of our Lord Jesus. He himself, who bore our sins, continues to represent us as the high priest, to be able to intercede on our behalf. So why? What is the application here? What do we need to know about this? Why do we need to know about this high priest? I mean, what is there for us in it? Number one, I think with the Lord Jesus being our high priest, we know that he has taken our sorrows, our limitations, and our difficulties before the Father, and he has been interceding on our behalf. The time when we came to know the Lord as our Savior, we trusted him in him because of the finished work on the cross. But we continue to go on in this journey because we have a high priest in heaven who continues to intercede on our behalf. And by doing that, he has given us the ministry of reconciliation, and also has given us the boldness to come week after week. Boldness for what? To approach the throne of grace. Imagine if the Lord Jesus ceased to be a high priest, I don't think I have an ability to go to God's presence with boldness. Because every time I go to the presence of God, he could easily point out a sin as a believer. But the Lord Jesus, being a great high priest, has given us the boldness to be in his presence, to approach him with confidence. Not only that, because of his high priestly nature, we can adore the Father. We can be found in adoration, the Father, because he has made us to be in his presence, to adore, to worship for his role of being high priest. And someday, we shall see his appearance. We shall see him because of his work as a high priest. And ultimately, we will make our abode with him. We will live with him forever. And we shall see him as the King of Kings, as the Lord of Lords. Such is our high priest. He has not only accomplished the sacrificial work on the cross of Calvary, bringing the whole system to an end, but also he is the high priest who offered himself as a sacrifice, now continues in the ministry of intercession for us. And someday when he shall appear, he would see us as his blood-bought saints and accept us into his kingdom, because he is our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Such a high priest, a powerful high priest, a permanent high priest. He deals with it very patiently, and he is the perfect high priest. So even as we go out today, perhaps the weeks to come, let's remember we have a great high priest. A high priest that has won the battle for you and me and continues to appear before the Father to keep us going, to walk in the way that he wants us to walk, all because of his work of intercession.